kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. This is your brother Ferdinand, and I want to particularly thank you for continuing in the School of Divine Revelation as we seek to get to know God personally for ourselves. A theoretical knowledge of God will not suffice, and certainly not in this generation where, you know, everything is failing, people that have trusted in them and the hearts of people are failing. We must know God for ourselves. Not as a story, not as a distant deity. I said, not as a distant deity. One God who is far up in heaven, far removed from the affairs of earth and all of that. But we must know him as God to us, as a personal, with a personal revelation. That's what I'm saying. We must know God for ourselves. Don't be content to have a man of God somewhere, a prophet somewhere, who is the one that knows God, and then all you do is give him money, and then he prays for you. I mean, Jesus did not die for him two times on the cross. You have the same inheritance as a child of God. So you should not be satisfied with a second-hand knowledge of God. You want to know the Father for yourself, because you also, you have a standing invitation to draw near and to pursue God, who also is pursuing you and desires intimate fellowship and communion with you, in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm sure you remember we've been studying, and then we came to the matter of the Trinity, and we realized that God, as revealed in Scripture, is a Trinity: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are one. And then we spent time to look at the Father, God the Father. And then we've also now been looking at the Lord Jesus. Why is that so important? It's because the Lord Jesus Christ was very, very clear. He said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." This is in John chapter 14 and verse 9. In other words, once you see Jesus, you have seen the Father. If you want to know what the Father looks like, then you must look at Jesus. There are some people who are trying to seek God, trying to know God, but they don't want Jesus. They don't want to look at Jesus. But it is Jesus who has revealed the Father to us. The Bible says it is Jesus, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father. He is the one that has revealed the Father to us. According to John chapter 1 and verse, I believe it's verse 18 in the Amplified Translation, it is Jesus that has revealed the Father. He is the one that has brought him out where he can be seen. It says here in the Amplified, John 1:18, "No man has ever seen God at any time. The only unique Son, or the only begotten God, who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father, he has declared him, he has revealed him, and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him, and he has made him known." So this is Jesus. He's the one that has revealed the Father to us. So the more we look at Jesus, the more we see the Father. And in the previous segments, we were looking at the fact that Jesus was prehistoric. He did not begin to exist when he was born by the Virgin Mary, because he's the Word of God that has been with the Father God from all eternity. Remember, we are told in Scripture, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So before the beginning, the Word was already there. one with the Father God, because God and His Word, they are one. And Jesus is the living Word of Almighty God. Hallelujah. And then we saw several other, manifestations and revelations of Christ in the Old Testament, confirming the fact that Christ was prehistoric and actually is the author of history. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we want to look further to see and establish the truth of, the further proofs of Christ's deity and to begin to see Jesus. You know, one prayer that I pray for myself and I want to recommend it to you is that pray that God will help you to see Jesus as he is seen in heaven. In other words, God will give you a revelation of who Christ is from heaven's perspective. It grieves me that the modern church is not studying Jesus. We are not focusing on Jesus. We have been distracted by giving too much attention to men of God, other believers whom God seems to be using in working miracles or in providing leadership for the church. And then some of us now, we are paying so much attention to apostles and prophets and teachers and other leaders. And I am not against learning from other leaders. But you see, as a believer, you must fix your eyes on Jesus. There's a very interesting thing that I found in the book of Hebrews. I'm sure you're familiar with Hebrews 11, which talks about the heroes of the faith. You have about, several heroes of the faith discussed and mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. But Jesus is not mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. But incidentally, by the time you now come to chapter 12, we are now told that seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So all of these heroes of the faith, they are witnesses from the Old Testament, David and Jephthah and Samuel, Abraham, and all of these great people that God used and that God greatly blessed in the Old Testament. We are told that these people are the cloud of witnesses. But then we are told that seeing then that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, we should lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us. And then we should run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, the heroes of the faith, they themselves are also, followers of the faith. They are not the author of the faith. They are not the finisher of the faith. Now, there are, leaders and men of God who are telling people, I was in a program somewhere and there was this preacher from one of the West African countries who came to speak in a church in Nigeria. I happened to be attending that day. And he was telling the story, of how there was this sister, a member of their church, and God really used him to be a blessing to her and to do a lot of miracles and, bring a lot of, help to this lady. And then one day she comes to him and she says, "Pastor, I'm moving over to another church." And, this pastor was so angry. He says, "You are going to another church after all that God has used us to do in your life. Don't you know I am the high priest of your soul?" And when he said that, it was as if, a red light went up. I said, "You are what?" From where I was sitting down, I said, "You are who? You are the what? High priest of our soul? How many high priests do we have inside the Christian faith?" You see, now there are all kinds of leaders and men of God and prophets and fathers and pastors, and they are claiming this authority over the people of God that I don't find the Bible giving to any believer over another believer. Peter, who is supposed to make such a claim? On the contrary, Peter said that the elders, he considered himself an elder. He said, "I beseech the rest of the elders that they should take oversight of the flock of God." Not as being lords over God's heritage, but as being examples to the flock of Almighty God. I believe this is 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 1 down. And he was pleading with them, don't be a lord over the heritage of God. This church and the brethren don't belong to these big men of God. They belong to Jesus Christ. But Ferdinand, are you preaching disrespect? No. I will never say that. But I am sorry to say that many people in the church now respect the man of God more than they honor Jesus. That's why the way you obey, you know, this papa, this big man, this great man, the way you tremble in front of him, do you tremble like that before God? So the point I'm making is that we are told to fix our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The heroes of the faith, they are not the authors of the faith. They are not the author of the faith. They are not the finisher of the faith. They themselves are running the same race that all of us are running. So what do? We learn from them, but we fix our eyes on Jesus. So that if they miss the way, then we ourselves will not automatically follow them into the bush where we are being loyal to human beings. So we must honor servants of God, but we must fear God and we must fix our eyes on Jesus. Blessed be God forevermore. In heaven, Jesus Christ is recognized and honored as the creator of everything. This is his status. This is where they see Jesus in heaven. Remember, I said to you that part of your prayer will be that God will open your eye so that you will see Jesus as he is seen in heaven. Listen to this scripture from Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm reading it from verse 1 to 2. It said, in many separate revelations, this is the Amplified Classic Translation. You can read from another one. But it says, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers, in and by the prophets. He says, but in the last of these days, you see, in these separate revelations, God was speaking through prophets. God was speaking through all of these leaders. He said, but in these last days, he has spoken to us in the person of his Son, whom he has appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. That is Jesus. And then he says, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the riches of space and the ages of time. He made, he produced, he built, he operated and arranged them in order. How did God do all this? He said it was through Jesus. He is the heir of all things. He is the lawful owner of all things. It was by him and through him that God created the entire universe, the riches of space, and the ages of time. God made, he produced, he built, he operated, and arranged them in order. It was Jesus that did all this. In verse 3, we are now told, and I love the way the Amplified, you know, translation brings this out. It says, Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God. He is the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. Jesus is the outshining, the big word is effulgence, the radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. Hey, so Jesus is the one that is upholding, he's maintaining, guiding, propelling the entire universe by his mighty word of power. You see, and the reason impossibilities are multiplied before us in the church is that we cannot see Jesus as he is. Oh God, open my eyes, open the eyes of my brethren, reveal Jesus to us. And then to think that I am carrying this Jesus in my heart, the one by whom God made, produced, built, operated, and arranged the universe, and then the one by whom God is upholding, maintaining, guiding, and propelling the entire universe by his mighty word of power. That is my Savior. That is the one that lives in my heart. Oh, Father, take away the veil from my eyes. Draw me closer to seek you, Jesus, to know you as you are. And then through me, that you may be made known to this generation. this is Jesus. He is the perfect image of God's nature and character. When you see Jesus, you have seen the Father. Hallelujah. And then this is the one that the Bible calls Emmanuel, which when it is interpreted is God with us. Not deputy God, not assistant God, but God Almighty in human flesh, who came down to bring eternal salvation to humanity. This is Jesus. By the time you come down now to verse 8, it says, but as to the Son, you see in verse, do you know that God himself calls Jesus God? You know, look at it from the same Hebrews. Let me now continue reading from that second part of verse 3. He said, when he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and redance of guilt. So you see, it was Jesus who offered himself and accomplished our cleansing of sins, redance of guilt. When he had finished paying the price for our full salvation, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high, taking a place and rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name, the title which he has inherited, is different from and more excellent than theirs. Do you know that there are people in the church, they are paying so much attention to angels? What are you doing with focusing on angels when Jesus is here? Of course, later in this chapter in the book of Hebrews, we are told that the angels themselves are ministering spirits sent by God to minister on behalf of those of us who are to inherit salvation. So we benefit from the ministry of angels, but we don't focus our minds and our hearts on angels. John was going to bow down before an angel in the book of Revelation, and the angel himself said, stop, don't do that. I am one of your people. I'm one of your brethren that follow and keep the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. So Jesus is superior to, he's the one that created all the angels. So now in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 1, we are now told, for to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I become your father, I have begotten you. Today I have begotten you. Established you in an official sonship relationship with kingly dignity. Say, which angel did God ever say to, you are my son, today I have begotten you? And then, to which angel did God ever say, I will be to him a father and he will be to me a son? Then in verse 6, we are told, moreover, when God brings the firstborn son again into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Worship who? Worship Jesus. Worship the firstborn. Say, let all the angels of God worship him. So, can you imagine that God himself is telling creatures to worship Jesus? Because do you know that the singular mark of God is that he is worthy of exclusive worship? God himself said, you should have no other gods before me. Don't bow down to them and don't worship them. But in this scripture, God is telling angels to bow down to Jesus and to worship him. So that tells you that Jesus is God Almighty. Jesus Christ is not created. Some people in Jehovah's Witnesses, they say that Jesus was created. Beware of that kind of teaching. Beware of that. Because once you believe that Jesus was created, it means that he is not eternal. And if he is not eternal, he cannot purchase eternal salvation. Once you deny the deity of Jesus Christ, you have denied redemption. Because only God could pay the price of our salvation. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could wash our sins away. Nothing else and nothing less will do. Another creature like us could never save us. But unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then we are told, he said, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. And he's going to sit on the throne of David and establish it forever and ever. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. So you see in this scripture, that Jesus Christ, God himself told the angels to worship Jesus. So in verse 7, he says, referring to the angels, he says that God makes his angels winds and his ministering servants flames of fire. But as to the Son, concerning the Son, Jesus Christ, the Father now says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. See, it's God talking to Jesus. And he says to him, your throne, O God. God is talking to Jesus. He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, to the ages of the ages. And the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of absolute righteousness, of justice and straightforwardness. God is still talking in verse 9. He says, you have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity, virtue, and uprightness, in purpose, in thought, and action. That's righteousness. Integrity. He said, you have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity, in virtue, in uprightness. Uprightness in purpose, virtue in thought, uprightness and integrity in thought, in action. And then he says, and you have hated lawlessness, injustice, and iniquity. You see, Jesus loves righteousness and hates iniquity. A lot of us in the church, we say we love righteousness, but we don't hate sin. We don't hate iniquity. We don't hate lawlessness. You know, it can survive around us. It can thrive around us. All of us that love righteousness, we must, in fact, in Psalm 97 verse 10, he said, all of you that love righteousness, hate evil. Huh? So you cannot say you love righteousness and you are neutral towards sin. Whether it is happening in your office or happening in your family or happening in a place in your own life, in a place where you have control and influence. No. So he says, you love righteousness, you hated iniquity. He says, therefore, for that reason. You see, there is a reason why God has anointed Jesus, exalted him after he paid our price. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of exultant joy and gladness above and beyond your fellows, your companions. This is God talking to Jesus. He said, you have loved righteousness, your throne, O God. Hey, God is talking to God here. So you see, there is the Godhead. The Father God is speaking to God the Son in the fellowship of the Trinity. And we are privileged to have a record of a conversation taking place, you know, from God to God. Hallelujah. So you see why Jesus can save to the uttermost? Because he is God. If Jesus was another man, or if Jesus was another religious leader, Jesus cannot save you if he is just another religious leader. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's why he could lay hold on God and lay hold on fallen humanity and make peace as our advocate, as our mediator. That's why he could stand in the middle, because he has the nature of God, and then he took, you know, flesh, the physical nature of human beings, thereby connecting him with God and man, of course, without sin. And as a perfect, you know, sinless Savior, he could then make atonement and bring reconciliation between God and human beings. This is Jesus. So God calls Jesus God. And in fact, in verse 10, he says, you, Lord. God is still talking to Jesus. He says, you, Lord. So God called him God and God called him Lord. He's speaking to Jesus. He says, you, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. He said they will perish, but you remain and you continue permanently. You are the same. All of them will grow old and wear out like a garment, and like a mantle, you will roll them up and you will change them. He said, but you remain the same, and your years will never end or come to failure. Hallelujah. And then God kept on talking. He said, he didn't say this to the angels. He said to the Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a stool for your feet. But the angels are ministering spirits. They are not God. But Jesus Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. Oh, glory to Jesus. Blessed be God forevermore. So these scriptures show us that Jesus is God. we will not finish all the detailed study of Christ, because if we continue, we won't even be able to touch other aspects of the school of divine revelation. But I am reading these scriptures to bring to your notice that Jesus Christ is Almighty God, come in the flesh. And the wonder of wonders is that when we now repent of our sins, this Jesus, this Savior, he enters into our hearts as Lord and Savior. You are carrying Christ inside you. He lives in you. Oh, my soul. Ferdinand. Jesus lives in you. Ty, Tita. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, don't be dormant in my heart. Reveal yourself to me and through me for the glory of your name, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. He who has seen me has seen the Father. That's what he told Philip in John chapter 14, verse 9. And then when Jesus ascended to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of Almighty God. And he has been guaranteed total dominion. Total dominion over everything in the entire universe, over everyone. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We read that in the book of Revelation 19. Let's read that as we draw this segment to a close. Revelation 19 is an amazing revelation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is called King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelation 19 from verse 11. He says, after that, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse appeared. And the one who was riding it is called faithful, trustworthy, loyal, incorruptible, steady, and true. And he passes judgment and wages war in righteousness, holiness, justice, and uprightness. His eyes blaze like a flame of fire, and on his head are many kingly crowns, diadems. And he has a title, a name inscribed, which he alone knows or can understand. He says he is dressed in a robe dyed by dipping in blood. And the title by which he's called is the Word of God. He says, and the troops, the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, they followed him on white horses. And then we are now told that from his mouth goes forth a sharp sword with which he can smite, afflict, strike the nations, and he will shepherd and control them with a staff, scepter, rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath and indignation of God Almighty, the Omnipotent One. Now look at verse 16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name, a title inscribed, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is Jesus that is being described. King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Jesus, we believe in you. We believe in you. I want you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I confess that you are the Son of God. You are Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, I confess that you are mighty to save. Jesus, Jesus, you live in my heart. Jesus, live in my heart. Oh, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Take away the veil. Jesus, reveal yourself to me. Cause me to see you as you are, to walk with you, and then to carry you and to reveal you to this generation. In Jesus' name. Oh, eternal Father, thank you, Father, for this word bringing Christ to us. Father, we just pray that you will draw our hearts to study Jesus, to grow in knowing Jesus. Oh, that our roots will grow deep down in the love of Jesus, in the revelation of who Jesus is. And that, Father, as we see him, we will see the Father, and we will worship you aright in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you. Please share with others and let's continue with our studies in the School of Divine Revelation. Bye-bye.
Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.